The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Going to be hearing about the Gilgo Beach murderer accusations against Rex Huerman for quite some time, so we might as well buckle up and get comfortable with some of these situations because they're insane. And every single day there are more and more onion peel layers to the story that we're peeling back and going, oh God, the onion's huge. It just keeps going. The latest in this is accusations, revelations, you may say, nothing as of this moment really proven, that there might have been a female accomplice involved in the killings allegedly perpetrated by Rex Huerman. According to attorney John Ray, who represents the families of victims Shannon Gilbert and Jessica Taylor, and an unnamed woman, may have played a significant role in luring some of the victims, thus adding another layer of complexity to the ongoing investigation. Before delving deeper into the facts surrounding the female accomplice, it is crucial to note that these allegations are currently unsubstantiated and authorities have not yet confirmed her involvement. And the her, we don't have a name to at all. The theory of a female accomplice, John Ray's assertion of a potential female accomplice came into the limelight after pointing to an especially poignant piece of evidence. The unidentified 10-month-old baby girl whose body was wrapped in a blanket on Long Island in 2011. The attorney firmly believes that such an act of apparent care for the deceased doesn't align with the violent tendencies of a brutal murderer. Instead, it seemed like an act of a mother. Moreover, Ray, Moreover, Ray Post proposed that this unidentified woman might have served as a lure for some of the victims. However, he didn't provide explicit reasons to support this assumption, nor did he disclose whether official investigators shared his belief. Adding to the mystery, Ray revealed that he started receiving unnerving phone calls from both a man and a woman earlier this year. These calls, which abruptly ceased the week Huerman was arrested, contained references to Gilgo Beach and were characterized by the same eerie voices and crazy sounds. On one occasion, the caller seemed to be monitoring Ray's activities, commenting on him enjoying his dinner, and then specifically referring to a pizza he was eating. Moments later, a pizza delivery arrived to his house, a pizza he did not order. When he traced the call back to the pizza place, Ray learned that the order was placed by a woman with a man in the background suggesting the toppings. His chilling phone calls appear to have intensified the attorney's belief and a possible female accomplice. Rex Huerman, the 59-year-old architect, was arrested just this last week on charges of the three of the 11 Gilgo Beach murders. Police investigators have not yet officially linked Huerman to either Gilbert or Taylor, whose families Ray represents. Huerman was reportedly linked to the crimes through DNA testing and examination of his cell phone records following the identification of Huerman as the owner of a vehicle linked to one of the murders. Police issued over 300 subpoenas in this case, search warrants, and other legal procedures to gather additional evidence before they actually went in and got Huerman. So to think that this was something of, well, maybe we'll pick on this guy. Not at all. This is very, very well vetted and investigated. So what exactly is going on here? I don't know. I don't know if there's a female accomplice. I think the assumptions, I don't know. I think there needs to be more evidence, quite honestly, to assume that yet.
There does. But I think, you know, you're dealing with one of the most prolific psychopaths we've seen in a long time. And we've been talking about Koberger. I think this guy is way worse than anything that's come out about Koberger, as far as I'm concerned. They're different. But this, if this is the guy, and it sounds like it is, his tentacles reach beyond measure at this point. from the burner phones to the weird phone calls to the weird date that he had with a woman to, I was reading this morning, he even, I don't know, designed something for Donald Trump at one point. So he is, he's far reaching. He's been involved in a lot of things. And the fact that he was keeping track of what investigators were doing, I would think most people wouldn't do that, especially if you are a murderer. You're going to want to stay far away from the case. And it sounds like he was touching the case quite frequently. You know, does that make sense? He's talking to the attorney that represents two of the victims.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is if there is an accomplice in this, if it was more than just him murdering the sex workers, if this was more of a trafficking type ring.
Right. That this woman didn't have a choice. She was just doing what she needed to do to stay alive, maybe.
Maybe. Or it's a Ghislaine Maxwell type character. Oh. I don't know by any means, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised. This man was fairly well connected in New York City and knew a lot of people who have a lot of money. And if we've learned anything about a lot of people who have a lot of money, and I'm not saying everybody by any means, but like the Uber, like living on a different plane of society, rich. The types that would go fly to Jeffrey Epstein's island, those folks, and the other type characters that maybe not as prominent as some of the famous ones. I could see, you know, maybe he had a small ring going. Maybe this was, as everyone likes to say, his side hustle. Maybe he was making some money by connecting powerful people with his circle of women. And maybe if something got out, maybe if these women learned too much or what have you, you know, off with, you know, them. I don't know. It's an assumption at this point. It's just wild speculation, quite honestly, at this point, if that was going on. But at this point, I think almost anything is possible with this individual, knowing what we know. And it seems every time I look him up to see new developments, there's like something or a string of new things that have come out about this individual.
Well, and you and I texted you yesterday about a story, and it's exactly what you just mentioned. A couple of the items that they took from his home included more than 200 firearms, a large doll in a glass case, and a large portrait of a woman with a bruised face. I mean, you know, I've known some really strange and unique people, but I can't say that they've had those things, you know?
Have you seen
make
the
him a murderer?
Have you seen the search history yet?
Not in its entirety. And I'll tell you, it's not because I don't want to be prepared for what we do. It's because this is freaking me the F out. Yeah. This is a very scary story. This is somebody who blended into society quite naturally and was leading a double life. And it's frightening because it just sometimes cases just hit your core. And this one hit mine.
Without a doubt, I'm trying to pull up the search history for this because I want to go through some of it on the air. I'm not going to put it on the website because I think this
you'll get flagged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean it's graphic. It's disturbing. It makes you question humanity that there could be somebody out there living this way and thinking this way, you know, that he was going about his job, his occupation, his vocation. And then at other times in his life, he was doing these other things. I can't reconcile it. It's hard.
I don't know how you go through it, but The search histories to me on so many of these cases are so damning. And I've said this to many people where it's like, this is almost better than DNA. This is almost better than fingerprints because you're getting into someone's mind and we can prove who did it. And if this is the shit you're looking up, you clearly are a criminal and are very fucking twisted and do not need to be amongst the rest of society. If these are your desires and what you are searching, when you're all alone with your computer. This is not like somebody going to like Pornhub and, you know, looking up, I don't know. I don't want to say there's everything normal on there, but this is fucking insane what's on this list. I'm going to go through it and I'm going to give you a trigger warning on this because this is a fucked up list. This is the most fucked up list of search engine histories that we've ever seen, I think, on this show from an alleged predator or murderer. So stand by. Here we go. This is the sexual searches. Then we'll talk about what he searched for after that. That did not involve more so paranoia searches. Mistress Long Island. Okay, not that bad. Mature escorts, Manhattan. And then it goes off the fucking rails. Girl begging for rape porn. Teen girl begging for rape porn. Pretty girl with bruised face porn. There's your bruised face. Torture redhead porn. 10-year-old schoolgirl. This is horrible. Hentai, maybe I'm saying it wrong. Hentai plump pussy lips cut off porn. I believe that's referring to one of the cultures or religions that actually does genital mutilation.
Yeah, I think so.
Skinny redhead titted up, tied up porn. Short fat girl tied up porn. Tied up and raped porn. Asian twink tied up porn. Tied slave forced cock. Cum shot on crying porn. Girl hog tied torture porn. 10-year-old blonde hair girl. Chubby 10-year-old girl, black girl 10 years old, girl with face beat up, chubby 10-year-old girl crying, 13-year-old school girl, age 12 girl with blonde hair, blue eyes, blonde hair girl, young, depressed, teen girl, oiled bodies, preteen girl with makeup, nude slave girls, old janitor's gangbang little school girl, crying girl, painful anal, school girl and crying teen porn. This all seems like a little bit much. For anyone whatsoever. And like, oh my God.
I don't just
end it right now, please. Just end it. I don't think anyone's going to object to me.
They do have him on suicide watch. Part of me is like, I want him to stay alive to be punished.
He probably would like it. He'd probably enjoy it.
Oh God.
That's the thing. I mean, he's sadistic and crazy. If this is the guy, I imagine he's getting some sort of sexual, you know, gratification from this whole process as well. I mean, honestly, for the sake and the energy and the emotions and the fucking hell that this person has already put so many people through, please, Rex Heuermann, get the bed sheet, tie it around your neck, take a little fall off the bunk, and save everyone the trouble. I mean, this is fucking insane. This is the searches related to the investigation on serial killers, because he was curious about, you know, that. What could law enforcement not trace? Or why could law enforcement not trace the calls made by the Long Island serial killer? Why hasn't the Long Island serial killer been caught? Long Island serial killer. Long Island serial killer phone call. Long Island serial killer update. Long Island serial killer update 2022. FBI active serial killer. Serial killers by state 2023. Map of all known serial killers. Unsolved serial killer cases. America's 5 most notorious old cases. 11 currently active serial killers. 8 terrifying active serial killers we can't find. John Bitroff, Megan Waterman, Melissa Barthelme, Maureen Brainerd Barnes. I believe those are some of the victims.
Yeah, they are.
Redacted name of some of these other ones. Cops launch Gilgo Beach Homicide Investigation Task Force, mapping the Long Island murder victims. Inside the Long Island serial killer in Gilgo Beach, the Gilgo Beach killer. In Long Island serial killer investigation, new phone technology may be key to break in case. I think he was getting a little paranoid that they might be on to him.
Yeah, he could feel them closing in on him.
And the thing is, when you're an officer and you're going in and making this arrest and you know all the charges, you know, against the person or what, all this shit they would know before going in. That's why I could not do law enforcement. I'd
slam their head against the ground.
They'd be like, well, they were acting out on me. And I mean, I would I would probably just pull the trigger on him.
Absolutely.
And it's utterly insane. But they do seem to have their man in custody. Everything, the damning evidence just keeps coming in. Now, I know there's going to be people out there, it's a conspiracy theory. They're making it up. Not everything is a conspiracy theory, kids. As much as I'd love to believe that maybe some of these horrific things are, that's not living in reality. And I think sometimes going to conspiracy theories is a way of escaping reality and not accepting the cold, hard truth that evil lives among us everywhere.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.